Today we're continuing in a four-part series on Holy Spirit, talking about God, our creator in spirit form. He's often referred to, you've heard him maybe in the King James Version, like Drew said, the Holy Ghost. Maybe that might be a little spooky for you, but the Holy Spirit, the word found in the OT or Old Testament translated as spirit is the word ruach, which means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation. And in the New Testament, the NT, the Greek word translated as spirit, is the word pneuma, which means a current of air, a blast of breath, and a strong breeze maybe. And it was just some word study, therefore, if you want to look at the Greek and the Hebrew. But we see the Holy Spirit referenced in Scripture as descending like a dove, which, you know, seems gentle maybe, baptizing with fire, as we talk about all-consuming fire, a comforter who guides and corrects, corrects me and leads me and nudges me as I need, as he sees my need, as he sees best fit. And because you're not alone to figure out life by yourself, so Holy Spirit comes alongside you as the paraclete, and he comes and he nudges you and leads you and talks to you. It's just a beautiful relationship that we get to be in. The voice of God cutting through the noise of our culture. How many times have you been trying to read the word of God or talking with Jesus, and it's just the host culture around us, the demands of life, social media, maybe the news or whatever you're listening to, or just maybe it's at work and it's like, I can't hear God. It's so busy. My life is upside down. God wants to cut through the noise of the host culture that you've been planted in, and he wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you, and he wants to guide you. He wants to teach you. And this is such a beautiful thing the Holy Spirit does. And there's also the sense of truth in this confusing and dark world that we are in. He brings truth. And when you feel alone and confused, lost, afraid, without hope, he is there with you in the quiet and in the chaos. And he will comfort you and counsel you and even convict you when those things that you do, they're not quite life-giving to you. He says, come on, you can do better than that, Chris. Here, let me show you a new way. Let me show you a different path to walk on, because that's not going to bring you life. He convicts me, and it's beautiful what Holy Spirit does in our lives. Amen. Anyone with me tonight? I want you to preach back to me tonight. Is that okay? So today I want to teach you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week we learned about the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are people of his presence. We want to be in his presence. We want to abide. We want to pursue his presence. We want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Some are simply unaware of Holy Spirit. We learned this last week, and some ignore and resist Holy Spirit even. Instead, what we can do, though, is we can learn to fully surrender our lives to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what we can do. We can know about him. We don't have to resist him. We can let him lead. Us. And next week, this is what we're going to learn. We're going to learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Who wants to know about the gifts? Come on, it's early Christmas. He's got gifts for you. He's already given to you, actually. So invite a friend and to come out with you and learn about Holy Spirit. Help make a difference in the life of somebody else. When you have the spirit of bringvitation, it means you're not just inviting them and saying, well, I did what I have to do. You know, bring them with you, right? They can trust that you have a relationship with you. And like, hey, if you go, well, maybe I can trust going to a crazy church, right, Tony? That's what it's all about. Tony was invited by Kevin and Megan over wings at Quality Foods, and it took a couple times of invitation, didn't it? And then before you know it, Tony's here, and he's coming, giving his life to Jesus, and he's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is what it means. This is a life that's been given to Jesus, and that's what we celebrate out loud. It's beautiful. And some of you are here because you were invited, and your life has been changed because someone thought to say, come and hear the good news about Jesus. Come on, let's go. So if you have your notebooks, take some notes tonight so that you can stay alert, so that you can reflect back on tonight's teaching throughout the week maybe. And because I really don't want you to miss out on the revelation that God wants to bring into your life. That's what he wants to do. That's what he does through his word, his living word, his rhema word. So as you open your Bibles, digital or paper, let's open them to the book of Acts. Stick your thumb in there, Acts chapter 1. We're going to get there in a minute. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And as you're getting your Bibles there, your smartphones, your notepads, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you tonight. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts, open our eyes, enlighten the eyes of our heart. Let there be spiritual revelation in this room tonight, God, as you continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. In the library of books we call the Bible today, we refer to the pre-Jesus era as the Old Testament. And in this portion of books throughout the OT, we see the power of the Spirit working in countless different ways. The Holy Spirit gave Joseph skill to rule over Egypt. The Spirit of God gave Joshua military power. The Holy Spirit gave words to prophets to speak prophetically over God's people. Prophetically, the gift of prophecy is to build up, stir up, and cheer up. That's what God's doing in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's doing it through you and I. We get to open our lips and let Holy Spirit speak to us, and we get to encourage people and build them up and stir them up to good works. It's a beautiful thing to be part of. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and gave him the ability and power to lead the people. In Judges 14, which I don't have for you, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, right? As he might have torn a young goat, scripture says. And in 1 Samuel 10 shows the words of Samuel to Saul, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, we're talking about power tonight, and you will prophesy with them and you will be changed into a different person. That's what I want in my life. I want to be changed into the person that God has designed me to be. Do you want to be changed and transformed by Jesus and his Spirit? I hope some of you do. There are so many references that I'm unable to bring to your attention tonight throughout the Old Testament and now throughout the New Testament. But let's look at the New Testament. This is where Jesus steps onto the scene. And we also see the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere throughout the New Testament portion of the Bible as well. And in fact, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this in Luke chapter 1 when Mary wondered, how could this be? Like she asked, I'm a virgin. How could I be pregnant? Right? She asked, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. See, when Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross, the Bible says the Son of God, Jesus, was raised from the dead again by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see the power of God through the Holy Spirit throughout the entire meta-narrative of the scripture that we have called the Bible today. It's beautiful. Then also before Jesus ascended to heaven, I'm just giving you some backstory. Is that okay tonight? You follow me? You good? All right. The New Testament, where Jesus steps in, he ascended to heaven. He promised his followers that he would send them a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a gift that is available to all humanity, all humanity. He said, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That same powerful Spirit, friends, is available to all who still believe in Jesus still today. Amen? This was foretold of by the ancients, the prophets, and it's been promised to every generation that would come, and to your daughters and their children's children, and to all those that are far off. This is the promises that we see in Scripture still today. It's beautiful that we have this promise. And beyond the small area of geography that Jesus physically walked in, he promised it to everyone on this terra firma who would believe and follow him as their forgiver and their leader. Now, here's my big question for you today. How many of you are Christ followers, or what we might also call Christians, mirror reflections of Jesus? How many of you might say, well, I know someone who is a Christian that seems to have a little bit more spiritual power than I do. Have you ever asked yourself that question? How many of you would say, well, I know someone like that. They just seem to be like really super spiritual or really powerful. And some of us might. And if you haven't witnessed this, you will. Sometimes you will see other people or be in a relationship with someone, and there's something uniquely different about that person. They just seem to have a little bit more of something that, man, they have so much faith. They trust God in such a different way, and they walk in a power and they walk in an authority that I really want to walk in the Spirit. And hear me for a moment. I'm not advocating comparison either, but for the sake of being an apprentice of Jesus, disciples and students of the way of Jesus, you will at some point in your life be around someone and you might be like, man, surely God is with this person. It's like you can feel the presence of God just being in the room with that person. Like maybe when they pray, their prayers feel so powerful, right? Like, whoa, ooh, they gave me goosebumps maybe, right? You might think, man, if I were God, I'd be listening. Right? I would definitely answer their prayers. They seem like, man, they got it figured out, right? They just sound so powerful. Woo! And maybe little tongues in there or something. Who knows? Maybe over a conversation with somebody else, you might be in that conversation. They just seem to be able to quote Bible verses left, right, and center. And they seem to know a Bible verse for everything. Have you known anybody like that? You don't have to put your hands up, but almost annoyingly in some ways, right? Like, boy, this guy's just like hyper spiritual, or girl, whatever it might be. And I think that's where that saying comes. He's well versed, maybe, right? Who knows? But that's how some people are. They seem to walk in a different world in some ways. Maybe it's Holy Spirit, maybe it's not. But you might be like, what? How do they do that? I can barely remember my phone number, let alone scriptures, right? Or maybe when something goes wrong in someone's life and they just seem to be like unshaken, steadfast, not even intimidated. Like they just seem to have this real, genuine, deep spiritual assurance. I too have personally known men and women of God in my life who walk in what might seem a different closeness with God than sometimes I have. And I remember as a child, as a young adult and a teenager, not so much a child, I remember walking into church and there was this elderly, godly woman that I remember. Her name was Tina Walls, and she's still alive today. And I would be going into church on an off night, help do some cleaning and do some rehearsal, whatever. And she'd be in the prayer room. There's a room that was specifically set aside for prayer. People could come and go, and that room was open 24 hours a day. And I can't wait, by the way, to have a building of our own where we can have a 24-hour house of prayer. That's what a house of God should look like, right? Anyways, you'd go into this, and I'd hear her, and I'd go in there, and I would hear her just praying out before God and calling out before God. And I could hear her just having a great old time in the presence of the living God. And it wasn't like fancy word prayers like we often, but it was like deep groanings and intercessions. And it was different than our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. That's great too, but it was different. There was something powerful about her prayer life. And I often would be like, I'd walk in and be like, you could feel the presence of God in that room as you walked by that prayer room. You could, something was going on. Heaven was meeting earth in that moment. You could sense. There's something different about that woman's prayer life, about her devotion, about her, how her and God were relating in that moment. And it was beautiful, but there's something different about her. Praying for the city, praying for loved ones. And I always knew if I ever needed prayer, I know who I'm going to go see, because I know her and God have something special going on. She was living in a whole different other world of faith and presence, and I desired it. And I still desire to have that kind of commitment and relationship with our God and our Father. Yet you might wonder, how is it that they seem to walk in a different power and authority than I do? Could the answer be that they might be walking in more power than I do? Does that make sense? In reality, I truly believe that there actually are people who are living in a frame of mind or a posture or with an attention, a mindset that is actually more surrendered to the power that is available to by God, available from God. See, we can walk in kind of like a half mindset, like we're busy doing our own thing, we're doing life, we're working, we're not, you know, maybe in the presence of the living God in our mindset and in our spirit. But there's another way of actually living in the spirit and walking in the spirit where our attention's always, like Paul talks, we pray without ceasing. Like my mind is always on God. Like what I'm doing is actually for God. Like I'm working for God, my marriage is for God, my relationships, everything that I'm doing is involved for God. And I'm in that mindset, I'm in that posture, I'm walking in the Spirit. And when you're walking in the Spirit, I'm not walking after the things of the flesh or after the desires and the passions and cravings of this world. I'm living more surrendered to God. I don't want to have what the world offers me. I want to have all that God has for me. So I can walk more surrendered to the power that is available to God through the Holy Spirit. And you might think, well, that isn't fair. But God is just. He's not fair anyways. And let me explain it this way. I remember one time back on our acreage back in Alberta, and I was readying our pasture for our horses. And I was putting up some fencing, and I was being kind of cheap financially. And I was putting up this wire fence for the pasture. So I went and rented a post pounder, one of those hand ones. It was a metal pipe with two big handles. Has anyone here ever pounded posts in by hand? John, yeah, a couple of you, that's awesome. Those cowboys, way to go. Love it. So I was cheap, and that's what I went and got this metal cylinder. It has two handles, and you put it over top of the post, and you're like, yeah, boom, ah, boom. And you're putting that post in by hand, right? And so that's what happens when you're cheap. And I started putting out these posts and pounding them in. I'm like one down, whew, two down, three down, you know, six down. There's 6-foot posts going 2 feet into the ground. And I had a lot of up and down pounding to do, and because I had a whole pasture to fence in, and I did this for a couple of days. And I remember I was so beat, I was a little bit discouraged. I'm like, man, this could take me all year, and I got horses coming like next week, kind of thing, right? And I was finally like, if I don't get some help, I'm not going to have the needed energy to do this in the timely manner that I need to. So what do? I go down to UFA, United Farmers Association Farm Store, and rented one of their hydraulic post pounder, trailer mounted post pounders. And I was like, look at this. Come on, devil. Brilliant, right? I'm going to show you how to get this done, and set my first post. And I got this post pounder behind my truck and hold it there. And I get the hydraulic pounder and a little hydraulic handle. And I lift it up. And boom, that thing sunk the post in the ground a whole foot with one post pound like that. And I was like, what? I've been doing this by hand, and this is like seconds, right? Brilliant. This little tiny handle, ding, 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 done. Next, ding, 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 done. Oh, man. Have you ever felt like that in life? Like you've been taken the hard way, right? You got this silly old post pound, you're like, ah, ding, and it barely goes an inch in the ground. you're going at it. Some of you just need to go down to the farm store and get yourself a hydraulic run post pounder and let the Holy Spirit do a little helping tonight. Is that okay? Right? This is like brilliant. I was like, voila, I'm going to get this done now. Thank you, God. Like, what the heck was I thinking? Anyways, that was Superman. That's why I'm so buff, by the way. Oh, that's years ago. No worries. I'll just pound these 200 posts in by hand. I was kind of arrogant, maybe thinking that I could do that. See, Christians like I did today all around the world are still trying to pound through their lives with a measly old post pounder by hand, putting on their little work gloves and burning themselves out and taking time to do something the cheap and old-fashioned way, possibly, that simply and frankly is a misuse and poor stewardship of our time and my energy and my finances. Like, we're going to live the Christian life my way, God. Look at this. Watch me do this. I got this, right? And on my own strength. Well, because I'm independent, right? We're indies nowadays. I've got this. Watch me. And we strive and we fight and we work hard and we battle and we don't get very far. You got three posts in, bro. Way to go. When there's a far greater power, I hope you're getting what I'm putting down here in this episode. There's a far greater power available to you, friends, for free, for us to live within us and to enable us. And it's like a little lift of the hydraulic handle. Dun, dun, done. The power of the Holy Spirit enabling you to get the job done right and quickly in the way, in the timely manner, in the way that God wants it. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Maybe not for post-pounding, but for the things that you walk through in your life. The Bible says this, and this is amazing. To those of you who believe in Christ, you have access to the very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, from the grave. Can you imagine post-pounding by hand like I was just sharing with you? When just behind the barn is a hydraulic post-pounder that can actually help you get the job done the way it's supposed to be done. And you be there beating your brow, laid out exhausted. And some of us are living our Christ-following life in the same manner, yet you can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you actually have the ability to live a supernatural life in this very natural world. And yet here we are, so many Jesus followers putting on our little work gloves, right? And we're got this. We're going to go get that thing done on my own strength. Maybe you call it flexing. I'd say, friends, you just got your eyes off of Jesus and you think you got it. For whatever reasons, we're human that way. I don't know, sometimes we just think far greater of ourselves than we probably should. And Holy Spirit's like, yeah, I'm right here, right? I'm your paraclete. I'm right beside you. Like, can I help? I'd love to. Great try, but I'm right here. I'd love to give you the strength that you need. And sometimes we get our eyes off of Jesus, but you have the same access to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. So let's just quit flexing. Let's quit being independent minded. Let's partner with the Holy Spirit. Like, that's what it's all about. He comes alongside you. Like, it's kind of like this picture of, like, I don't know if you ever had a mentor in your life that's coming alongside you. You've been really struggling and it's hard. Maybe a coach, and he comes and puts his arm around you and you're here, right? And he's walking alongside you and he's comforting you and giving you, he's talking like, hey, you know, next time we play that play, here's what we can do. Hey, I saw how you worked through that. And I was, here's, maybe try this idea. This is the picture of the paraclete. Like, I'm under arm of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, it's not just bro, but it's like, it's my coach, my mentor, my trainer, my God, through the Holy Spirit. They're beside me. Hand over my shoulders. Like, that's the kind of relationship I have. And here I be just like doing my own thing and ignoring him sometimes when it's like, right there. And sometimes this is our tension is on our own self and our own abilities. And we got this, God, and watch this, hold my beer. Full send, right? Let it go. Stop. Let's stop resisting Holy Spirit. Stop ignoring Holy Spirit and let him empower you, give you power to enable you to live as Christ has designed you to live. You with me still? All right, you still got your thumb in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Here's the context. Jesus has already died on the cross. He rose from the grave, and he was with his disciples having a conversation with him before he was about to ascend into heaven. Voila, gone. Beautiful. And here's how the conversation went in Acts 1, chapter 4. He says, on one occasion while Jesus was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about, he says. What do you think that gift was? Well, we have come to know it was the Holy Spirit. We studied this last week in John chapter 14, when Jesus said, I'm going to go away and send a gift to you, and this is going to be better than if I was actually with you, and this is going to be the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say in verse 5 of Acts 1, for John, and he's referring to John the Baptist, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we have learned this before, but it's so much worth learning and repeating again for us to recognize and to stick this in our brains. Now, baptism, I believe, is incredibly important for us to understand the invitation of the promises of the Spirit. And I think this might actually help us to gain a fuller understanding. Now, some of you have heard me talk about this in the past, and some of you, this might be new to you tonight. In the Greek, which much of the New Testament, when it was originally written, was written in Koine Greek, which is about 70% of the Bible. Unlike the Old Testament, mostly Hebrew, the Bible wasn't originally written in English, just so you know. So there are two words in Greek that have similar meaning, bapto and baptizo. Now, both of these words can be actually used. They were used in ancient Greek recipes for dipping or immersion. So you will find them in different moments throughout the history and writings of various religious and even scientific writings around being dipped into something. But the New Testament writers exclusively use the word baptizo and not bapto. Whenever it talks about baptism, let's learn something, right? And the reason for that is being illustrated by this example. When you look at an ancient pickling recipe, ready for this? Because an ancient pickling recipe uses both bapto and baptizo and reveals the significance for us to understand baptizo. See, in this, the bapto, so in the ancient pickling recipe, using these Greek words, it says, take the cucumber. Some of you are probably farmers and canners. You love canning, you know, your own pickles or whatever it is. It says, take the cucumber and bapto it, which is to dip it into boiling water, and then baptizo it, dip it, immerse it into vinegar, and keep it there. Right? So the point being that the initial dipping is momentary. And this momentary dipping does not alter anything for the cucumber. You took the cucumber and you put it in hot water to just clean off those impurities or whatever was on there. But then you took it and you put it in the canning solution, the vinegar, and you left it there, immersed it and let it saturate. But the baptizo is entirely different than the bapto, because what goes in as a cucumber, when it's left in that solution, when it's baptizo, it becomes a pickle. So it's no longer a cucumber just dipped in hot water. Now that cucumber is put in the vinegar solution and it stays there. And guess what? It's now a cucumber, pickle, right? Like, why? Because it has been overwhelmed and saturated by the solution that it is in. See, when the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples, baptizing them as Jesus promised, what happens is they go in as cucumbers and they come out as pickles. They are completely transformed by the Holy Spirit. They're overwhelmed by the nature of God around them and in them. You are left in that jar and you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everything changes so that these men and women who were tarrying and waiting in an upper room in the book of Acts, as Jesus instructed them to do, they stand up and they start speaking in other tongues and they prophesy with courage and with boldness. Why? Because they had been pickled in the Holy Spirit. Their life has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. See, we friends, we must understand that when we invite Holy Spirit into our lives and we desire to receive Holy Spirit, what we are saying is, Holy Spirit, come and pickle me. Come and transform me. Come and completely change me. I am no longer a cucumber. I am no longer what my former man. I'm no longer my old self, but I am a new person. I am changed. I've got a new way of thinking. I've got a new leader, a Messiah that I'm following. His name is Jesus. The always gone. I'm no longer just a cucumber, Tony. Come and overwhelm me. See, so many of us are overwhelmed by life instead, and worry and anxiety and doubt and fears. But see, what God wants to do is he wants to overwhelm you with his Spirit so that you can live a life that's transformed by him and through him and for him. So what's going to happen to you when this takes place? Verse 8 of Acts 1. Well, Jesus says this, you will receive power. Can you say power? Touch your neighbor and say power. Touch your other neighbor, the one of your second choice, and say power again. He said, you will receive power when the Holy, you just got an elbow in the ribs, didn't you? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, what will you be able to do? What is the power for? He said, so that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. For you and I, we get to be witnesses in Nanaimo, in your workplace, in your home, wherever you go, when you go overseas, when you take a trip. See, when you go on vacation, you don't leave God on Sunday morning and leave him there Sunday night or at home right on the couch. Everywhere you go, you bring Holy Spirit with you, right? Underarm, right? That's where, maybe it's, who knows? Anyways, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth. See, when Holy Spirit comes and baptizes you, you will receive power. Now, one more step further. The English word power is from the Greek word dunamis, meaning power or potential or ability, and is central to the idea of potentiality and actuality. So, see, Holy Spirit's planted in you, living in you, dwelling in you for a purpose. There's potential there. There's power. There's an ability that's there, but you have to, what? Walk in it, right? It, because Holy Spirit doesn't come in like, left, right, and take over your life. He's to nudge you and guide you and lead you, comfort your paraclete, underarm, coming alongside you. It's not changing into some weird zombie, but you have the potential and ability and power of the Holy Spirit within you. I will pickle you. I will transform you. And you will have dunamis, miraculous power. See, if you're taking notes, dunamis is not just any power. The word often refers to miraculous power or marvelous works. It's more than just like lifting power. Right? It's more than just that. It's about the miraculous and marvelous works of God going on inside of you, but not just for you, because God is bigger than just any one of us. He wants to work through you and show off to somebody else too about God's life-changing power in you. And now you got this fruit of the Spirit and people are like, what's so, something so different about Mikey? What is going on? Bro, like he doesn't lie. He doesn't walk in deceit. He's not cheating. He shows up on time. He's like, there's good character going on. There's love. There's a joy. There's peace that's beyond understanding. Like this is the power of the Holy Spirit going on in your life and in Mikey's life. And the miraculous power, marvelous works of God's in you. So then he says this to his disciples. You're going to be empowered by the Spirit to what? You have the power, potential, or ability, right? To take my message into all of the world. It's for a purpose that's so much larger and greater than any one of us. Reaching lost and lonely people. See, church is like the ark. Remember the ark, Noah's ark, all these lovely, we're not animals. But the point is the church today is God's plan A for hope and healing in the world. And there's lost people who need Jesus. And what do? We invite them into the ark. Why? Because there's an end that's coming. And people are going to be without Jesus, are not going to be able to live in eternity with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a Christless state of existence when time is finished, when the end has come, the end of the world, whatever that's going to look like. Right? I want to live in a Christ-filled existence. Because if God is love, can you imagine if the world was empty and void of God, there'd be no, can you imagine a world with no love whatsoever? No familial love, no like basic human liking kind of love even. Life would be, this world would be crazy. And that's not the existence that I want to live in when all is said and done. I want to live in a Christ-filled eternity. And so we get to be a church that is on mission, seeking those, just like Jesus. His mission was to seek the one that was lost, the lost coin, the lost sheep. And that was you and I at one point. And now we get to join that same mission, empowered with the Holy Spirit, the same potential in us, the same ability in us that was in Christ Jesus. Are you still with me? Some of you are like, I don't want to do that. But that's what you've been called to. A mission that's so great and big to bring lost people into an ark before the end comes. And it's amazing that we get to be a part of something so beautiful. You might say, well, what's the big deal about this? Remember context. You have to remember exactly who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to his disciples who for the last 3 years have been walking with Jesus. And they couldn't get much right themselves too, friends. Never one time did Jesus say to his disciples, man, you guys have such great faith. I'm blown away, right? I can't believe that I even had to come and be here with you. like, you guys got this. I don't think Jesus ever said, actually, I believe that he didn't say that, right? No, over and over again, he said, don't you guys get it? Oh, you have so little faith. You're with me and still have such, you've seen such beautiful things happen and such miracles happen, and you still have such little faith. Peter, one of his followers who seemed to be kind of a ringleader, right? He said, Jesus, I am with you all the time and I will never leave you. Like, he was flexing, right? And then right before the cross, what does Peter do? He denies knowing Jesus three times. And at the cross, after Jesus had already said, I'm going to give my life up for this church that I'm building. Only one of the 12 showed up, by the way. John and a couple ladies. The others were all hiding and cowering in fear for their lives. See, Jesus died and rose from the grave. And where were his fearless disciples when he returned? Remember that? Locked in a room. Oh, the end is coming. Jesus, poof, pops in there. Hey, you got any fish sticks? Right? And they're like, ah, how did you get in here? The door was locked. They couldn't believe it, right? I'm here, voila. Be not afraid. That's probably his first words. That's what he always seems to say. They couldn't believe it. Yes, the women who were at the tomb, they told us what they saw, but we didn't, like, what? That's crazy. We still didn't believe. Remember Thomas, he who heard the other 10 that he was back, that Jesus was back and back to life, and then he actually saw him in the flesh, and he still said, I don't believe, until he touched the scars, put it in his hands and in his side. These are the men that Jesus looked at, as very ordinary men like you and me, and said, you actually will have power to take this message all over the world. And we are here at this moment still today declaring the good news of the Lordship of Jesus and Christ all around the world, including in Nanaimo, in our city, in our places of work, living and playing and studying. And because the Holy Spirit came upon very ordinary people like you and I and gave them power to take this message and to proclaim this good news of salvation and Jesus as the rescuer for our lives and the empowerment to live righteously as God has called us. Many of whom were, in this time, many were killed for their faith. We're actually martyrs is where the word witness comes from. You will be witnesses. You will actually die for me. But the same power is still available for us today. And around the world, people are still dying for this good news and giving their lives for this faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because something's happened in my life. Something has come and changed me, has pickled me. I'm no longer that. I've been completely transformed by the Holy Spirit. And I would give anything, I'd give my life to walk with him and to commune with him and to fellowship with him. The same power is available for us, to all that I believe. So friends, I'm inviting you to take off your work gloves, to put away your little post pounder. Stop trying even to do the good Christian life on your own power, on your own limited strength. And would you, along with me, surrender to the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, who wants to both move in you and move through you to touch a world who needs Jesus. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the spiritual gifts and the gifts of the Spirit that helps us to live this out practically. But let me get practical for the next few moments in a different way. I want to show you four distinct qualities that the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give all believers. So write these down. If you have your notebook, if you're still taking notes, or your smartphone, write these down. Let's get practical. Four distinct qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to give to all believers. The first one is the Holy Spirit gives you power to share Christ boldly. So the Holy Spirit desires to give you the power to share the good news of Jesus. Looking at the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, he says this, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but my message came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on my fancy words or men's wisdom, but instead on God's power. He said, I'm not the most eloquent speaker basically around, but when you saw me show up, the power of the Holy Spirit was there in me speaking through me. And quite honestly, that's what we get to rely on. Every time we are speaking the truth, every time we are preaching the gospel, every time I get up here to preach the gospel, I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to do what he so eloquently does. He speaks. It might not even sound exactly like me or be the right words or whatever that I'm using. He uses it all. He's talking to you right now, stirring in your heart, showing you some things in your life that he wants to transform maybe in you, or some areas of your life where he wants to empower you to live according to his plans. Like, I know I'm not the smartest or best or brightest or most talented by far, but that's not the point. And you can study and you can learn and be willing and pursue excellence. I encourage you to do that. But God cannot. But God can take my efforts. God can take my words and your efforts. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, use them in a particular way that would speak directly into the heart and life of other people. What do you get to do? Just open your mouth and be willing, be surrendered to the Holy Spirit, to let him live through you and speak through you, give you power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to communicate the message of Christ in a life-transforming way. Let me move on. I remember when I was a young preacher, I'd be so nervous. You know, I was like 17, 18 years of age, trying my best to put a preach together that would probably last 15 minutes or whatever. And thank God for good men and women in my life who had the patience to mentor the next generation and to lean into their calling and to encourage them and to resource them. And maybe if you have ever felt uncomfortable or underqualified or unworthy and not qualified or good enough maybe to share your faith, stop it. Stop thinking like that. That's not who God's called you to be insecure about who you are, but to be confident in who he is in you. Stop partnering with the lies and the half-truths of the devil. Hey, I get it, but you and I have been given the power of the Holy Spirit and are commissioned to go and preach the good news, to go and declare. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to stand on a platform. You can go and preach the good. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit's in you. Preach the good news of Jesus. Talk about him. Celebrate him. Share the good news. You are commissioned. You are literal witnesses of the life and spirit of God who transforms lives. I truly am a witness of the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, and so are you, friends. You all right with that? You don't have to wait to be great or have it all figured out in order to share about Jesus and how he has changed your life. He has changed and is still changing your life. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit with boldness. And while I'm on this, read your Bible, by the way. Pray, walk in the Spirit. Get to know Jesus, fast, die to your flesh and the cravings and the passions of your flesh, right? These are some of the practices that we can engage in. Not to prove that we're worthy of love, but because I love God so much and I don't want to be distracted by all this crap around me. I want to be focused on him. I want to do what he's called me to be a part of so that you can be a demonstration of the good news. The Holy Spirit gives you power to share Christ with others, and he will give you that same power if you will trust in him, if you would be willing. So this week, as we're talking about this, watch. You're going to be in a conversation with somebody. And those of you who are believers in Jesus and listening and taking notes, you're going to feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. This person needs God. Like, man, you can feel it. You can sense it. And right here, I've got an opening. And sure, you might hesitate. I know you're nervous or whatever it might be. But following the prompting of the Spirit, you might say, but I don't know what to say. I know we don't always know what to say. Just step out in faith. And just do it and watch it. What happens. There have been moments that I have sensed in my life, hey, this is a God moment. This God has brought this person into my life in this moment for a particular reason, and I want to respond, God. And so I just open my mouth and I start talking. Hey, how are you? What's going on? What's new? And listen, and you're going to hear God speak to you, and God wants to speak to you and through you to this person that's in front of you. So watch this week and sense that God wants to say something to the person that you are interacting with or rubbing shoulders with. So just open up your mouth to speak and trust that God's going to do so. And God's love and his compassion will start to speak through you. Scripture is going to even come to mind that you might even have to go back and look like, wow, I didn't even realize that was in here. It just came to my mind. That was the Holy Spirit doing that work inside of you for a purpose of the other person that needed to hear from God today. The Holy Spirit will give you words to say. Maybe you'll even be like, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? It sounds like you're going through some rough things. And I'm trusting God that God wants to do something special in your life this week. You don't have to be a good prayer, right? Have all the fancy words memorized. Just pray. Talk to God. It's really simple. Just like you're talking to a friend. God gives you the power to share the good news. Second distinct quality is this. He will give you power when you are weak. Now, I truly believe this is going to speak to some of you. That he's going to give you power when you are weak. In Romans 8:26. It says it this way, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, how does he help us? There's too many ways to count, actually. And one of the ways is that he prays for you. He intercedes on your behalf. Watch this. The Bible says, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit's praying for us when we are weak. Here's the deal. Many of you have put on your work gloves and picked up that old post pounder, yet where you are weak is where God's Spirit is actually made perfect. And I will give you an example. I used to work out. You can't tell anymore. I know. I haven't been working out for a while. But I remember when I was really working out on resistance training and weightlifting, I would work out with a buddy and we would spot for each other. And when we were doing some serious bench pressing or deadlifts, the job of the spotter was to help you finish the set, if need be. And when you had pushed yourself and you've exhausted yourself in that set and your muscles, and if you didn't have a spotter, you would be at risk of hurting yourself. Like, if you're like, and you'd fall. Right? You really seriously injure yourself in that sense, be in a real bad situation. And it often would be in the last set of that, whatever you were doing, working on shoulders or legs, and I'd be pushing 21, 22. I know you're doing maybe sets of eight. I did 30 sets of 30s, just so you know. I'm just kidding. 28, and your arms are still so shaky and muscles are burning, and your spotter would be like, come on, you can do it. Ooh. Three more, two more, come on, push. You got this. And then at that failure moment, that unsafe moment, you would shout, lift. And that spotter would like just help you just barely get it back onto the rack so you wouldn't fall and you'd choke you to death. Taking that weight off of you so you can safely finish the set. In a real sense, this is a picture of what Holy Spirit does in our lives. When we get to the end of our strength, some of you have reached the end of your strength. Some of you have been there a few times in your life, and the Holy Spirit is strong where you cannot be strong. And he can do that for you. He helps us and gives us power in our weaknesses. And this is something the Holy Spirit does for me in my weakness. And I believe with everything in me that when you are weak today, the Holy Spirit can come alongside you and be the strength, be strong on your behalf. You may be a parent and you're going, I don't know what to do with these kids. They are too much. And Holy Spirit can give you wisdom. What do? You ask him, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom to raise my kids, to have conversations with him. Maybe you have a big presentation coming up at work and you're like, I'm the worst in front of people. Maybe it's school and then you panic and you freeze. You're like, bah. You know, your voice will be all shaky and your heart pounding in your chest. And what do? You ask the Holy Spirit, when you are weak, he can be strong. He cares about the little things in your life too. Maybe you have a vice in your life, something that you just can't break free from, a habit, a broken habit maybe, that just isn't life-giving to you anymore. And you want to break free from this stronghold. And maybe that secret sin in your life that just keep you, it's a habitual sin, you can't break free from it. You can't overcome the power on your own strength. And you've been trying really hard to break free from that situation. You've been trying to pound that post by hand. Working hard, overwhelmed, frustrated, irritated, exhausted, and maybe you're even feeling that right now. I just can't. But the Holy Spirit can and desires to give you the power where you are weak, friends. Call on him. See, let's look at the Bible, what it says right here in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. This was Paul, and he was complaining about this thorn in his flesh. He says, God, take it away. Take it away, God. Just take it away, God. And here's what God says. But Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. This is what Paul says. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that will give you power to share Christ boldly, and he will give you power when you are weak. Third distinct quality. You writing notes here? Here we go. He will give you power to have hope in a hopeless world. This thought and this scripture for many of you will be life today. Let the Spirit speak directly to you. Romans 15 and 13, Paul said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. As you trust in him, not as you do yoga, not as you do tarot cards, not as you do salt, licking your salt crystal or whatever you do, as you trust in him, he will give you hope and fill you with all joy and peace. Why? So that you may overflow with hope by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it again. So that you may overflow with hope, friends. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. See, too many people have very limited hope. You're not overflowing with hope. Limited. For example, we put our hope in anything else but God sometimes. So our hope is going to be limited when our hope is not in God. When we put our hope in ourselves, we have limited hope. If we put our hope in other people, actually, again, our hope is limited. If we put our hope in circumstances, our circumstances will only take us so far. Our hope is limited because it is not put in an unlimited God. Your hope must be in God. If you're hurting today, if you're afraid, he can cause you to overflow with hope for your circumstances by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do we put our hope in? God, and let him overflow in us, in our lives, with joy and with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you lose your job, what do? You continue to put your hope in God. When you are sick, what do? When you're in pain, what do? We continue to put our hope in God, because he is unlimited, and the power of God by the Holy Spirit in us is giving us hope for that healing, giving us hope for that provision, giving us hope. What do? We say, God, thanks for that new job, don't we? God, thank you for the relationship healing that you're bringing to my life. He'll be your provider. Continue to put your hope in God. And let the Holy Spirit be your healer. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, put your hope in God. And let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. If you lose someone that you love, and I know losing someone you love hurts so dearly, it hurts so much, we don't have to grieve like those who have no hope, but instead we put our hope in God and the promises of the resurrection and the glory of eternity in heaven. So I put my hope in God. I don't grieve the same way the world grieves, because I put my hope in God. Those who have hope in anything else but God will have limited hope. But scripture says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're hopeless today in something, I pray this verse becomes so alive to you, so real to you, that even though you don't see anything that you can have hope in this moment, you can overflow, friends, in the power, in the hope of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the fourth one. I'll hurry up because I'm running over time here. Some of you are getting really hungry now, I can tell. The fourth distinct quality that I want to show you today, I believe, is unquestionably the most important. And that is, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to experience all the fullness of God. Some of you may be saying, what does that actually even mean? Here's what I've noticed. In our church and in our country, in our lives, I believe so many people have reduced Christianity down to the lowest common denominators. Christianity for so many people today is, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I did the Jesus pray thing. Check the box there, right? Maybe got baptized, joined a church roster. Maybe joined the team, read the Bible every now and then again. And I even try every once in a while to be a really good person. See, when you and I look at our lives with honesty and look much, we don't often look very much different than the world around. We still worry. We're still afraid. We're still trying to make up things for ourselves and provide for ourselves in a way that God's like, hey, that's not the way I've asked you to. Like, if the third job's not really God's way for you, it's like, hey, can I trust God for my finances in the one job or one and a half job maybe that I have? Maybe I don't need to have that new car. Maybe I don't need to have that new holiday, whatever it might be. I need to trust God for the things that he wants to do in my life. So sometimes we need to look at our lives with honesty. We don't often look different than the world. We're still filled with worry, still broke, still struggling in our marriages. No real faith, no real victory. Why? Here's why. There's limited power. You are living on your own power most times. And Paul, when writing to the young pastor Timothy, who was pastoring the church in Ephesus, he writes this from prison, actually, addressing a similar issue in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Paul says this: but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. What does Paul say? Avoid such people. Avoid living like that, friends. Last week, I cautioned you not to resist the Holy Spirit. And today, I encourage you in this: don't deny the power of godliness in your life. Don't deny the power of the Holy Spirit showing up in your life. The power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to pickle you, to transform the way you think, the way you act, the power to guide your life, the power to sense his rightful authority in your life even. So many people really don't understand who God is and what he has for you. The Holy Spirit wants to show up and give you the power to experience all the fullness of God. All that God has for you. Paul prayed this over the believers in Ephesus as well. He says, I'm praying this over our church. He says in Ephesians 3:16-19, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with what? With power. Now, where does this power come from? As we're learning, power through the Spirit, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Why? Because you need this power, right? That you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that his love surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what God wants. Stand with me, friends, tonight as we close. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If you've ever wondered, is there more to Christianity? There's got to be more than just trying to do good stuff on my own strength. Well, the answer is yes, there's so much more that God wants to give you. There's so much more that God wants to do in your life. There is so much more. There is the reality of the constant presence of God through the Holy Spirit, like we learned last week. Presence that you can have with you, the Paraclete who comes along under arm, that will never abandon you, never forsake you, never reject you. And this peace that surpasses all human ability to understand. And this will produce such a beautiful fruit in us, friends. This fruit of the Spirit that we learned early on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That you can be led by the Holy Spirit, walk by faith and not by sight. That you can have joy and joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you can have a supernatural strength to overcome sin and broken habits. That you can have, and shame can be broken off tonight too, by the way, friends. That you can be rooted and established in the secure love of Christ, and that you can live a supernatural life in this very natural world. That's what the Holy Spirit in power wants to do in your life tonight. Friends, you cannot give and serve and live and love like Jesus on your own strength. Most of you have already tried. I know I have a few times in my life. It doesn't work. Didn't work. Still doesn't, will never work. There's another power that is available to you. So will you call on him tonight with me? Will you surrender to him tonight? And will you also watch with me how the Spirit of God will fill your life with power to strengthen you, to comfort you, to guide you, to counsel you, to be your intercessor who wants to pray on your behalf when you feel weak? He empowers you to live the life that you're absolutely incapable of living on your own. A life that brings glory and honor to our God in heaven. Pray with me, friends. All eyes closed, heads bowed as we stand. God, I thank you for the spiritual hunger in this church, in this building, in this room tonight. And I pray, Jesus, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight as we worshiped and we talked about Holy Spirit tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower ordinary Christians, ordinary people to live an extraordinary Spirit-filled life. Fill us to overflowing. Holy Spirit, we invite you to rule and reign in our lives tonight. Help us to overcome our flesh, our sin, our shame, our brokenness. Help us to surrender fully to your presence and to your power as we have learned the last couple weeks. We desire to please you and to live for you in every way. For those of you in the room, eyes closed still, who might say, I'm a believer, unquestionably, but I'm sensing, coming to realize that I'm not living within this power. I believe it's real, and I want it. And if there's more of God, and he has more for me, I want it. And maybe you're realizing in this moment tonight that you haven't been good at sharing your faith or overcoming temptation, and you would say, Jesus, I need your miraculous power and your enabling power to be at work in me. I need your hope. I need your strength, your courage, your power. And if that's you, I want to invite you, all heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. Would you be so bold as to raise your hand and say, that's me? Yes. Thanks, Jesus. I need your power, God. Thank you. I see your hands. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, hands all around the room, God. I need your power to live a supernatural life in a natural world. Share my faith. To be an encouragement to other people. I want to pray for you. God, thanks for hearts and hands lifted all around this room. Holy Spirit, fill each of these beautiful people to overflowing tonight. God, baptize them with power. pickle them in the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Overwhelm each one. Transform hearts. Reveal to them everything in them that can be surrendered to you. God, whatever it is in me, God, reveal to me how I can surrender it to you. Come upon us boldly by the power of your Spirit. Even, Lord Jesus, even in this moment, may we experience you. Holy Spirit, right now, all around this room, break off strongholds, break off vices, break off old mindsets, addictions, apathy, whatever it might be. God, even those who have very practical struggles in this room, I pray that you would be strong when they are weak this week, God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to reveal to us who you are and how much you love us and what really matters to you. And we desire to enjoy the fullness of God through your love and empowered by your Spirit. Thank you for drawing us closer to you in this moment. And I want to give one more person an opportunity to respond. For those of you in the room who maybe haven't said yes to Jesus yet, yes to following Jesus, maybe you're not a Jesus-y kind of person. In this moment, I believe Holy Spirit is working in the room. And in this moment, you are beginning to realize that you are weak on your own. Life isn't quite working out the way that you had hoped, and you truly need strength to do things differently. Maybe you feel your life hasn't had a whole lot of meaning and impact, and you feel empty, and maybe you feel void of purpose, and you're beginning to realize even right now as Holy Spirit is speaking to you that you need Jesus, this Jesus that we're talking about tonight, all of him. You might be saying, I don't know what it really even means to follow Jesus, but I want to know how to take that next step and make him Lord of my life, to give him control, surrender my life to him so that he can live powerfully through me. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity just to lift your hand. No one's looking around, heads are bowed. Yes, I see your hand, that's good. Lift your hand. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, Lord, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Come, live powerfully through me, Jesus. Let tonight signify a fresh start. I made a decision, God, I want to follow you. Thanks, Jesus. I choose you today. Pray with me like this, friends, all around the room. If you could all pray with me like this. Heavenly Father, thanks for drawing me to you. I surrender my whole life to you. Save me from all my sins. I call on Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me so I can live a life that would honor God. Thank you for this new life. Now you have all of mine. I belong to you. I am yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Hey, would you just celebrate Jesus loudly for 10 seconds as Marie comes?